Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Coach, I've had it with the MHSAA, man.
I heard, man. Basketball season about to start January 21st or 25th, I think.
Yeah, they get to start 16th.
So what do you do with a football team that's supposed to be or don't be?
Well, okay, so, you know, I think we started off last week playing red light, green light, right?
All right.
So the green light comes on Monday. They practice Monday. Red light come on Tuesday. Why? Because they hadn't put all the protocol in place for the rapid testing for the kids. So there's been no practice Tuesday, Wednesday. They're supposed to practice tomorrow in you know, among all this snow and rain that's been falling. And it's like, you know what? This is ridiculous, man. You're going to affect basketball. And what they've done to basketball is condensed it. They didn't prolong the season. Okay? The tournament is going to still be in
March. So you got 10 games in your conference, all conference games.
Well, first of all, you got to get all your they're putting together. They might be out now. They're working on the conference schedule. All games are going to be Tuesday, Thursdays, which gives you the ability to do a Friday, Saturday if you want to do a non-conference. But you only got 6 weeks of basketball.
Man, they should have did like me and you said. Put them in a dome, get everybody tested, put four teams in, everybody play two games.
Yep.
And do it for six straight weekends.
Nope, they didn't.
That's a 20-game season.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, that's what the coach – Muskegon won't. He won 20 games because he knows that's what teams, that's what his kids need to be ready for the tournament.
Especially Coach Guy. He preparing to go. He preparing to at least win the district, at least.
But, you know, they're just, man, the MHSA has too much control over sports. And it's a nonprofit organization, right? Totally set aside. The state has nothing to do with these folks.
But you know how that is, though.
They running it all. There's a group of guys sitting over there in Lansing that put this thing together, making six-figure incomes off the back of these kids, and controls all the high school athletics.
They twiddling their thumbs and figuring out. But I'm telling you, they put in a situation where they could try to pick the champion for the divisions.
Which is wrong, man.
It's favors, man. They owe people some favors. I'm trying to tell you.
Check this out.
I ain't going to say nothing else about it, but they owe some people.
For years, they've always talked about the UP saying, you know what, we're going to have our own association. We're
going
to break
smashed.
Away. We don't have to travel down, you know, to the Lower Peninsula. Then there's talk about separating parochial schools from Catholic and private schools. There was always that talk. But for some reason, nobody has really, you know, taken the gavel and went to work on challenging the Michigan High School Athletic Association and the way they run their business. But I think it's time. I think there needs to be some group of people that go to Lansing, go to the governor's office, and said, hey, we need more control. We need more input into how things are done. This independent group has too much power over high school athletics in the state of Michigan.
So how did you stop a conglomerate like that?
Well, you got to strike.
I mean, a monopoly. They're not working together.
You got to strike when the iron is hot.
Now it's hot
because when they went back and the Department of Health and Human Services said, okay, you can resume, but here are the guidelines. They bypassed that and just went right into practicing. So that's why they got shut down the last time. The point is there's got to be somebody that's in the state of Michigan that they have to answer to. Mm-hmm. Or there has to be a group of administrators or coaches that they have to answer to. The problem is they're independently ran. They don't have any ties to the state of Michigan, and they just have too much control over the public school athletics in the state of Michigan.
How they dress, how they do everything.
Well, Imani Bates, you know what he did, right?
Yeah, he went in, they did their own thing.
Right. Why?
Because of this MHSAJ. They want to capitalize off his talent.
That's it. So he went to an academy, the Ypsilanti Academy.
His daddy got the best kids and said, we're going to go around and go around everybody, go to different states, travel, get our own sponsorship.
ESPN, well, Nike. Yeah. Nike bankrolling them.
And then, but you got to think, they bankrolling them, but we got PPA money out here that some people don't need them checks. Okay. So what do you do? What's the next thing you do? You donate it to a nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
A real nonprofit.
They get to travel. They get to play on TV, ESPN. Well, you can't play on ESPN if you're in the Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Muskegon, you can't lead a state to play nobody.
You can't lead a state. We'll give you a 200-mile radius. If it's more than 200 miles, you can't go. Too much control, man. And then playoffs come, they take all the money. All right? They have not paid one dime to upgrade facilities or to give teams money to buy uniforms, equipment, or even come to this testing. I think that's the issue around the testing is who's going to pay for it.
Wow. So not right now we see the item lines that's on the money. They're like, hold on. Don't they supposed to be paying for this?
That's what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to pay for it.
So then the school keep a concession, right?
That's it.
That's it. So then they got to split the ticket price.
What?
You got to give all the money to the MHSAA?
Yes, sir. They get all the money on the playoffs.
So the regular season, only thing that we see.
Only thing you see. Then they dictate to you in regular season, up till this year with COVID, you couldn't broadcast any games if you wanted to put them streaming on TV. MHSAA said you can't do that. They had total control over that, man. You can do your radio, but no TV or streaming. If they do, they do it. They get the money for it. But because of COVID and the pressure of not having fans in the stands, they knew they had to relax these restrictions.
Wow, Tony, this is crazy, man.
But going forward, you know, this ain't going to be around for a while. And I just think it is time for the coaches, the administrators, for these public schools to start challenging the Michigan High School Athletic Association and the power that they wield in how things are ran on the athletics.
Athletic director, your job hard,
man.
They make you earn every nickel.
Yeah, man. But they don't get it. They don't give anything back,
and don't give it back. They make you earn every nickel, and don't give it back.
You know, the only thing they do is maybe pay the rent for the finals at Ford Field, but that's about it. So, but we'll see. I had to get it off my chest. It's been bugging me, man.
No, that's money. That's finance. We're dealing with stuff. That's finance. That's the opportunity to see it as what it is.
Well, and same thing happened in the college, too, right?
That's
right. NCAA, same thing. People are starting to push back on the NCAA and the control that they have over these student-athletes.
Time to pay them kids. Yeah. And then giving those transport portal. The transport portal has shown a lot this year on how kids been mismanaged or how a coach try to stack the deck and he don't got room for these 4 stars and 5 stars and tell them to wait. So what you going to do when everybody got an extra year? Like a player like Langford.
Everybody got an extra year now.
Like Langford, he could say, I want to come back to Mississippi State another year.
He can come.
He'd be like an eighth year player. But he can come.
He can come. Everybody got a free one this year. It's a freebie because of COVID. All players.
Where the money going to come from? To pay for the scholarship next year.
It ain't coming from the NCAA.
The pandemic paychecks for the colleges.
It's the colleges got to eat that money, man.
Stimulus.
They just granted them the extra year of eligibility.
And they got and they signing bills. Whitmer, they signing bills. Trump signed a bill for money for schools. So that's what's gonna go on. The money for the schools gonna kick back into making sure you got this practice run of a year, basically.
Yep.
Man, this is something different, Tony.
Yeah, and these bills, it's like, man, there's so much stuff that is stacked. We talked about this last week. You know, we just see what's on the surface, right? When they talk about the $600, and then Trump says, no, that is not enough. That's $2,000. Well, why wait till the last minute, okay, to the 11th hour? We're going to shut down the government. These people, unemployment benefits are going to run out, and now you want to stand up and say, no, it's not enough. It needs to be $2,000. Democrats have been saying it all the time, but there's other things that come with the $2,000. Okay, there's other things that come, just like you mentioned earlier, about the farmers and the welfare that they're receiving through the paychecks, where they're talking about, wow, we don't even need the money, but cool, the government is sending it, we'll take it.
But then in my neighborhood, there's no grocery store.
No grocery stores.
Or affordable housing or decent apartments for people to live in that is accessible to a grocery store. Like, look at the downtown in Muskegon Heights. Imagine if a couple $700,000 checks end up in that CBD, that central business, not CBD or like cannabis, central business district.
Right.
If a CBD really happened, Peck Street would be on fire all the way down from at the end by the Omni and the old Red Lobster.
Yeah.
All the way down to the end of Peck, like it used to be when Charles Hackley was alive. Where you could ride through and it's like, this is amazing.
It was a downtown, man.
It's a real downtown. Hit the strip and you're like, we hanging out, we eating.
Nothing.
Imagine if a couple of those $700,000 checks ended up in business owners' hands or where you can build infrastructure for that, just that street. Mm-hmm. If that street got about 10 $700,000 checks, what could it be?
Make a lot of difference, man. Put a lot of people to work, provide a lot of services, products.
But then you give a check to a farmer that's, I would say, mega-sized. He's already in corporate America. He's supplying food to major companies like a McDonald's or a Burger King. He making their cows or something, or their chickens for Chick-fil-A. Somebody, he doing something big for somebody. And then you all of a sudden, because his paperwork is together and he connected his company, they like, oh, he get a PPA check too.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Their spiel is, well, you know, we normally provide a lot to the schools. So there's no school lunches, right?
Right.
Restaurants, we're providing a lot of food to restaurants.
They don't eat it.
They're not even.
They sales,
you know,
down.
They're operating at 10, 15% capacity. So they're saying, you know, what are we going to do with our crops? Well, I would rather the government say, well, we're going to give you that money, but in turn, you got to continue to produce your crops to give away to the American public.
So like, look,
the food banks.
Look, let's come at it like this though, because I know you were a big investor. You manage money for other people in the portfolios, right?
Yep.
Let's look at it like this. Remember in 1982? Even though I was 5 years old, remember 1982, right? Yeah. When they pumped the economy up with welfare and all this global economy stuff, getting ready for the NAFTA and trying to make it move. Like, hey, going from the gold standard to stocks, and they start just pumping in the commodities, like the cows, the corn, you know.
Yeah,
things like that.
It was,
and they was pumping money in there, like, just like they call it stimulus now, but they was really injecting our economy to make it look good on paper because the gold standard was gone. It was like the first real era after the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that do to us, though, when we pumped it up like that?
Well, basically devalued the dollar, which is happening now.
Devalued the dollar.
Devalued the dollar.
So like a country like China can come in
mm-hmm.
and buy our value of our dollar up at a lower price.
That's right.
But then they can buy real estate with our dollar and then change it over to Chinese dollar and make it worth more and say, hey,
yen. Yeah.
Kind of like a 2-for-1 type of deal.
Yeah, it's a whole market of currency exchange, right?
Yes.
On a daily basis.
It's a good business.
Yeah, Forex is what they do. And it's a currency exchange around the world. And when you start printing money like we're getting ready to do, it's going to devalue the dollar. So in other words, you know, it used to be when in Detroit, you could go to Canada,
go
to currency exchange.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. And you say, okay, I'm going to give you $200, $200 American dollars, and in turn, they gave you $250 back in Canadian money.
You just ball out in Canada.
So when you're in Canada, you spend their money.
Duty free, all that.
Yeah.
Combined. I mean,
When
I was young. I was buying some stuff.
Right. Used to do it all the time,
I used to buy cars.
Yeah. Like,
I go over there and buy a car over in Canada because they had that thing with the emissions, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
So they like, oh, this need a Cadillac converter, this need this and that. I look at them like, this car brand new. So I go over there, buy it for the Canadian price.
Mm-hmm.
Drive it back over the bridge. They inspect it because they think I'm bringing drugs. I was doing a car week. Come back, wash it up, sell it. I'm like, well, I only paid like $4,000 for this. Man, I could put this mug out here for $6 or $7. I was doing that before, like you said, the dollar was devalued.
Yeah.
This was like probably like 2005 before the mortgage crisis came.
Okay.
I'll get a car every week. And who was that? Clarence Ray. He was my, I worked with him at the school. And he was a world-class track athlete. And he was, once upon a time, he went to Kentucky State. He was the fastest man in the country one time. So he gave me exposure to Canada because I was just going over to hang out. I'd go to Toronto, go to Windsor University.
Yeah.
No, I was single at the time, seeing the girls, hanging out. And he's like, what you be doing over in Canada? I said, I'll be getting it in. You know? He said, let me show you something. So we drive over there, right? He take me out into the rural area. And like you said, the devalue of things. So we pull up to this car lot. It's Chevy Impala's big body 96s. It's Cadillacs, Eldorados, STSs. I'm like, these brand new cars almost. He said, no, they not. He said, look at this one. There's this tag on it that this Cadillac converter bad, so they got to pay so much for emissions. We could buy this car and we could take it back. So he started showing me the hustle.
Okay.
I was like, man, that's 4,000 American. He said, no, Canadian.
Yep.
So I'm like, that's only $2,500.
Do the conversion.
Yeah. So I buy the car, take it to, we had a guy that used to fix the car, put the Cadillac converter on it, make it fit American expectations, right?
Uh-huh.
Just replace the dual exhaust, put it out on the downtown close to the bridge, sell that mug on the lot or by the school, park it at the school with a sale sign on it, at the Coney Island, tell the dude the Coney Island, when I sell the car, I give you $200. Just let me leave it in your lot because it was 24 hours.
Right.
Man, talking about some money? That was one of the first hustles I learned with devalue the dollar. But when the dollar was powerful, I could do that commerce, that trade with that money.
Yeah. You know, for years, guys would go to Canada and buy, you know, thousands of dollars in coins, right, and bring them back.
Canadian dime and American dime is the same thing.
Well, now when you buy it on the conversion, it's not.
That's right.
But when you bring it back here, you get the same. You know, stores would accept that Canadian quarter just like it was an American quarter. They didn't even want to go through the conversion effect of it. So they just treated it as the same. Until, you know, they realized that the market was getting flooded with all this Canadian change currency. And now a lot of stores won't take them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those guys that had a hustle back then, man, that would get Canadian coins and the dimes, the quarters, and the nickels, and then come through and pass them off in the United States and make a profit.
Wow. That's
when the dollar was strong.
Man, dollar was strong. So I used to go to Toronto a lot, have a great time. And just,
yes, great city. Great city.
I love Toronto. I still mad at Kauai for leaving. I'm like, man, you should never left there.
Oh, they won't give him the city, man. He owned that city.
Yeah. You know, speaking of sports, man, they lost by 50 the other day.
To the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody had their day. So I'm watching TNT.
Did you watch the game? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know how ugly it was.
I watched the game. Because what happened, I seen a score somewhere. Somebody posted it. You know, a lot of guys who playing video games. I'm like, who playing a video game? I was like, playing a video game? I'm like, no, that's like a real game. So I turned it over to the game. It's at halftime. It's at 27. Yeah.
27 points, man. Pro basketball team.
I was like, hold on. Is everybody hurt? Like
they playing the cheerleaders? Or
like,
what?
I know Kawhi got hurt. He probably ain't playing. But who else not playing? Everybody got COVID. There's one man out there on the floor?
No, man. One guy was all they was missing. Set a record.
Man.
Worst loss of any team in history franchise.
The most ever at halftime.
At halftime.
Not the end of the game.
Well,
end of
the game was 50. It was still 50, man. So who the coach over there now?
Tyronn Lue.
Okay,
but look,
you better watch out.
But before that, Doc Rivers said this. Before that even that game even happened, Doc Rivers said, look, I'm telling you, it ain't me.
Okay.
It's not whatever coach they bring in, it's not gonna be him. I'm telling you.
Doc said
that. Because Pandemic P said it was Doc Rivers
right,
trying to make him be like Ray Allen. I was like, hold up, you should want to be like Ray Allen. He got game, like, for real. He was
that's what Michael you should
Jordan.
Want to be.
Ray Allen is sponsored by Michael Jordan. He was a walking bucket in college. With Milwaukee, with Seattle, with the Celtics, with everybody he played with.
He earned his money.
He was super good.
So he was.
You Pandemic P, you might falter. You got 100. I think Pandemic P got 100 shots. 100 shots of people hitting game winners on it, waving at him. He got like 100. He jumping and he getting shot down. He got 100 of them on him.
Okay.
So I'm like, you talking about Doc Rivers. He trying to make me like J.J. Redick. I'm like, J.J. Redick, another good player.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yes, he is.
You ain't won nothing. Nobody don't know you from college.
Yeah.
You had a little stint in Indiana. You just a guy. And then you got a good agent or a good lawyer to get you the money.
Okay.
You got a 238 million, but you trade bait right now.
Yeah.
So looking at that, then man, it's just like you said, the pandemic is driving things.
Oh man, it's so weird, man. It's
Michigan State stuff. Can't win a boys basketball game in the Big Ten. They losing by 20.
What happened, man?
Man, you know what? Big Ten tough.
No doubt. Now let's come on.
Good.
Yeah, Big Ten top to bottom.
Every game that come on, I'm trying to catch it because they got some hoopers.
They do, man. I've been impressed with the Big Ten basketball.
And then Tom Izzo coach, like, he coaching for favors or something. Like, he coaching guys for favors. Like, oh, I got Langford out here, but Brown can wait. Brown is actually Gabe, the boy from Grapes Christian, and Brown, Henry Brown. Mm-hmm. They actually they good players, 44. And they don't be getting the playing time. Like, hold up. Kidner not that nice. Hauser, okay. Then Lawyer is...
I think he's a liability.
Yeah, he a liability, man. Lawyer daddy. I know his daddy coached with the Pistons and Allen Iverson, but that ain't nowhere near.
From what I can see.
He's like, he's one of our middle school kids out there. Jumping nice. He like a middle schooler out there. He don't look like he belong.
The other team be glad when he on the floor.
Like when they play Minnesota, they, you know how you ice on the ball, but you, like, you run the play, and they looking to post him up. I'm like, he's not. And I seen guys smaller than him. He's a 5'2 dude right now in the NCAA. They was trying to post him up the other day. They couldn't because he was 150, and they was throwing in the post.
He was solid. You keep him off the block.
And the boys, they couldn't get the ball. They was like, forget, don't run that play no more. He played for USMB, the Dogs.
Oh, okay.
He's 5'2", built like a...
5'2".
Yep, built like an ox. Got a nice jumper, fast, strong. But then I look at Fournier, I'm like, and I'm not picking on him, but I'm like, you look like a Division II guard.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I watched him play a couple years at Clarkston. Yeah. And thought he was okay.
He was okay. He just had the green light, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he had the green light.
Yep. So his daddy and them made sure of that.
Yeah, he definitely had the green light.
And his brother going to Purdue, I think.
Oh, Purdue?
His brother going to Purdue. Yeah. So now we got the president saying, throw them a little bit of little something more.
The $2,000, right?
Yeah, throw them one.
You're going to veto it.
Yeah, that ain't right for my people. Get them two stacks.
Right. We should have did this month. You know, ever since the first stimulus bill, they said we're working on another one.
Yep.
Shortly after that, working on another one. That was back in the spring.
Yeah, so then they should have had that number figured out. How you go lower and then all these other initiatives, like I seen some money set aside, millions set aside for schools in like China, schools in other countries.
No way.
So I'm like, millions? I'm talking about, Tony, not no, like, oh, here go a million. We're talking about like 500. 300. So then I started thinking about this concept a couple years ago. I had in class, it was a cultural competence class, and it was talking about the model minority is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, model minority, what do they mean? Like, the model minority that America wants is not the homegrown, I'm gonna say this, homegrown urban African American. It's not.
Okay.
Because you got urban school, urban kid. And you got all these layers of these urban issues.
Okay.
So sure now you go to the third world places that's either poor or affluent, and you inject money in their school and their economies.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got this free trade, you got this global stock market, and say, hey, study abroad. They pumping money in study abroad. So I'm like, okay. So if I got somebody that's in China, I pump it to their schools, this millions of dollars. Now I got this clause or amendment that say you got to come back to America for study abroad to be an engineer for so many years.
Okay.
You can come here for 7 years. We'll give you this when you come here.
Okay.
So now it's like, the model. And I'm not against no culture making a come up.
Right.
It's hard around the whole world. But COVID is showing me that, hey, we need to start checking these people. And then for Trump, he has the – it's a lot of people about to be on the death row.
Oh,
today and tomorrow.
Oh yeah, he don't mind putting them on death row.
Since 1800, they talking about this week right here.
Mm-hmm.
They say they've been ready to do mass
executions.
That's since going back to this, like, almost at slavery days. 1800. They talking about the numbers look like 1800s, and then people about to be either lethally injected or whatever, however they want to die.
And I like to see what the ethnic makeup is, too, of those that are on death row versus the ones that have just been pardoned for their crimes. I like to see that dynamic play out.
And the ones that's pardoned, I'm going to give you one particular case. I can't remember his name, but I know he...
Manafort?
Yep. I know he divorced one of them.
Oh,
really?
He
divorced her brother.
Oh.
So he was over in Sudan or Pakistan or something, and he was over there as a defense group to protect some citizens or
he was
some
with
resource.
That.
Yes.
He was with the group, the Blackwater.
Yes.
That killed all those innocent folks over
That's
there.
That's right. He was over there. So he did that. Trump pardoned him.
That whole group, yeah. Yeah, they pardoned him. They got a pardon.
So then now he on one side fighting for your $2,000, but on another, he on the backside like, hey, y'all let them off. Pardon him. And then all the people that was in the conspiracy with him, He pardoning them too.
Yeah, lying to the FBI, those that were involved in his campaign, which was Manafort, taking money, taking bribes, the whole nine yards. So those are the folks that he's letting off the hook. In his last few days of administration, have never even really addressed this country at a time when the pandemic is just wreaking havoc in this country. People are dying by the thousands on a daily basis, and this guy does not even have the compassion to come and address the American public. He don't care, man. He don't care.
But then you got the IRS getting tapped by other countries. And
oh, they system. The breach, the security breach in every major government office that we have, from national security to the IRS to the military to the Social Security. They've been they're saying it's all coming from Russia, which he says, no, it's China. Well, your intelligence, the people that are responsible to tell you the what coders. It is, said it's the Russians.
But he can't say his boy. No, it's not my boy. It's not him. I got them hotels.
It's the
over.
Chinese, he say.
They got a Chinese disease. That's what he's making up.
The China flu.
Yeah, lying. Lying.
And you know what?
Because guess what? The mutating of the disease is in the UK right now.
Right. And they've
it started there.
And they got two cases now they found in Colorado of this new strain. It was two, and was guy that was on CNN. They're all young. These are like in their 20s. And they've gotten this new strand, which they say is not as deadly as COVID-19, but is more contagious than COVID-19. So, those kind of issues he will not address. He will not talk about.
At all. Like I was talking to a client this morning, and she contacted me. She was like, Chauncey, the IRS looked at my credit report. I was like, did they look at all three or one? She said, one. I said, that's a red flag for identity theft. Hmm. I said, that's some of that breaching from them other countries.
Probably.
Because she got a great credit score, this lady does. I mean, she got one of them like yours.
Okay.
Them 800 plus. Yeah, she 800 plus like you. So I'm like, so they looking for something for you. They trying to use your identity or something. So I was like, I was thinking about our 11 ways to make sure that we go into 2021. That's one of the 11 ways. Make sure that you got your identity theft on. And going to like places like annualcreditreport.com, freecreditscore.com, making sure that you are doing a due diligence and getting those alerts for free.
Yep.
Getting that free credit report, creditkarma.com, Experian. So when somebody get a hit or inquiry or something, because she was asking me, say, my credit good. She said, do they be doing people that got bad credit? I say, yeah.
Yeah, they do to everybody, man.
Especially somebody that don't check their credit. They'll take somebody that don't check their credit or somebody that recently died.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when it comes to scammers and people that's like government, they know how to build somebody's income real quick because they got those offshore accounts.
Yep.
So they can take a person that just recently died and build their credit score with the secured, the authorized user, all that. And they can get them like a millionaire in a couple of seconds.
Yep.
And then they can go get access to some funds that they can steal and they can say, oh, the death certificate don't come out for so long. They did, and they got it.
The money is gone. The money gone. Yeah, and that's part of the dark web. So what the Russians do when they retrieve all this information, all they do is turn around and sell it to guys that might be in Africa, right? This information, and then they make it look like you're a viable person in the United States. And like you say, they'll go out and get credit, get cars, get houses, and this person don't even exist for the most part.
So, like, get ready for the scam that's going on right now, the $600. And I'm not talking about from the government. I'm talking about from people that's going to be calling you on the phone, say, you get your stimulus let? I can help you get it. Give me your information.
Yep.
I'm telling you, audience, look out.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen.
It's coming. Somebody going to call you. Don't give your information over the phone. Please don't do that. Don't send no emails. Don't respond to no emails. Not directly to your bank because the banks are doing it. Chase Bank, PNC, all the banks are doing it where you can check on your stimulus through your actual bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't have a bank account, then you receive a paper check, right, which is going to take longer.
Yep, take longer.
But you're definitely right about these scams. They coming.
They coming.
Get ready for them. Phone going to ring off the hook.
Because it's an overlap of taxes. It's an overlap of back payments. Then you got the kids, $600 per kid too now.
Okay.
So this is a lot of money about to come through. So there's when a lot comes, a lot of stealing happens.
Yes, it do, man. It's going to happen. You're going to get them. It'll be a 2-3 area code, but that person's probably sitting in a third world country somewhere.
That's right.
Because I've seen it happen.
So the websites are to check on your stuff and make sure identity theft, annualcreditreport.com. You got freecreditscore.com. Check them out. You get your free credit report. Check on there. Make sure that you, if you got to do it, and you see something going on, ask for a credit freeze. Freeze mm-hmm. your credit so nobody can't get nothing else and put you in a detrimental situation. Make sure you stay on top of it. if you don't need the $600, look at your credit score, improve your credit, or invest the $600.
Yeah. Don't blow it. Don't throw it away.
Yeah. Don't buy the
if it's 600, might be more. We don't know.
Yeah. Don't go
but
to the club.
It's
don't
your
go.
Money.
Yeah,
right?
It's your money.
It's your money. It's taxpayers' dollars. It's not like the government is giving you something that you know, that they like you so well they're giving you a check. No, it's tax dollars.
It's your money.
You.
And they're trying to inject the economy. They're trying to, that's called a stimulus for a reason. Like
stimulus.
They want to stick a needle in your arm for the vaccination. They're trying to stick on a needle in our country's arm to boost our economy. That's all it is.
Yep.
A booster, like, well, that's what a vaccination does, boost your immune system. Stimulus does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's still a lot of people that are out of work. A lot of people that are on the verge of losing their homes. A lot of people that are homeless. A lot of people that don't have food to eat.
Health care.
So for whatever reason, the prior administration has not really felt it necessary to share that information with the public. They keep painting a rosy picture.
Because that's the
how
numbers.
Things are great.
Yeah, because if you report good job numbers in a mm-hmm. pandemic, like what are you talking about?
Right. Oh,
we got this many open jobs. We got this many. Look at the economy. We're talking about 3 months behind. Every time you report something, it's a ripple effect of 3 months behind.
Yeah.
I know that because it report by quarters, right?
It's by quarter, yeah.
First quarter, third quarter. You can't just get the information. Oh, today, jobs went up. No.
Well, yeah, we had 300 go up, but the last quarter, we lost 3 million jobs, and now we got 300,000 new jobs. Okay. All right.
And they less for less pay. They are for people that's renting spoons or something. Mm-hmm. A job that's menial. So don't do that. And then for our audience, hey, whatever people do with their $600 or what they is, don't make fun of somebody because you're in a blessed situation. You never know what somebody's going through. $600 can be a great thing to help somebody boost their life and get them back on track. So we all been in situations where it was tough on us. So don't judge the next man because he got something and he's trying to make his life better.
Yeah, and we'll have to wait and see how this thing plays out because right now Mitch McConnell is not allowing it to go through with the $2,000. There's some other things that they want to see in there because, like we spoke before, there's even one in there where churches are getting the payday.
Yeah, I saw that. Loans. Nonprofits.
Yeah.
Because they missed, service has been going the whole year.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't hit the churches like they hit the small black businesses.
Okay. Which got very little of that money.
Skipped right over. So don't do the black church like that. Please don't. Bring it back. Bring the black church back. Make it a foundation in our community again.
Again. Like it used to be.
Hook them up. If you want to make up for something you missed on the first time, hook up the black church where they got to learn how to be the central nervous system of the city again.
Mm-hmm.
Show some love there. But like I was just thinking, I was thinking all the time. I'm like, kids, I want to be the president when I grow up. I want to be Michael Jordan. I want to be like LeBron. I want to be astronaut and fireman. Don't say you want to be the president when you grow up. Say you want to be Mitch McConnell when you grow up.
Because,
okay. Like, what does it take to be him?
He's been in that office a long time.
Man, he has ruled over many presidents. When I say ruled over, they got to go through him. So do we elect him? Is he elected or voted in? Or does his peers pick him?
He's from Kentucky. And there's no term limits. So he's been there forever. And I've not read Obama's book. But some of the excerpts about Mitch McConnell, basically pledging that he will stop everything that Obama tried to do.
Yes, he was.
Along with now, and Trump has tried to undo everything that Obama has done. His main goal is to make sure that this country stays the staunch Republican conservatives that they've always been.
Keep institutional racism alive. That's what they're basically saying.
It really is.
Keep the haves and the have-nots. If I got it, I'm going to tell you, it took me 30 steps, but it really took me one step.
Yeah. Well, January 5th, right, is the primary, the runoff in Georgia. The two seats either go both Democrats or Republicans. If the Democrats get them, they control the Senate and the House of Representatives. So keep your eye on that. situation, because that's going to determine what these next 4 years are like in this country. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, sir. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.